God is good. What do you say? Amen? I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And the presentation this morning is entitled, We Are Family. We are family. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. If there ever was a time in history where our families need to take priority, that time is now. What do you say? Amen? And the Bible talks not only about the importance of the family, but also introduces a new family into our lives when we become converted. So this morning we'll be looking at, from the Word of God, the importance of family, but especially a new family from the Word. So before we begin, let's seek the Lord in prayer. Father, as your Word is open, we ask for your presence, your Holy Spirit, to teach us and to humble us. We pray that we may apply what we learn to our lives. We thank in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is the family of God located? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, talking about Father, the whole family, where? In what? In heaven and where? And earth is what? Name. So in other words, the Bible uses, I want you to know, the Bible uses that word what? Family. Amen? It's not something we just make up and we're just saying. The Bible talks about family. So there's a family in heaven, the whole family, and it's really one family. So the family up in heaven is named, and the family on this earth is named, and guess what? It is the one and the same family, or should be the one and the same family. What do you say? Amen? So the Bible talks about the family of God in the same way. So in other words, those who worship God are part of this family found in heaven and also on this earth. And I want to be part of this family. What do you say? Amen? In the same way, when we worship God by giving our lives to Him, we join the same family as found up in heaven as on this earth. Now, how do we, okay, now we know there's a family in heaven and on this earth. How do we join this family? 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. How do we join this family? There's a the Bible talks about a family, but how is one to join this family? The Bible says, Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is what? Born of God. So when you're born, in other words, when you believe in Jesus Christ, what he says about the Father, and you receive Christ into your life, and of course, there's that change in your life, in my life. When you receive Christ into our life, we join the family of God because we're born into the family of God. So to join God's family, we must be born again and have a new life that proves that we've been born into the family of God. So once we believe in God, we join the family of God. And the proof that we have joined is because we become just like, we start looking like our Father, right? You know, when people see my daughter, or they know, I don't know how they know, but they say she looks just like her Father, right? So when you join a family and you're born into a family, guess what? You're supposed to look like your father, right? Or your mother. In the same way, when we're born into the family of God, guess what? We are changed and transformed that we start looking more and more like our Heavenly Father. What do you say? Amen? And I want to look like my Heavenly Father because He's much more beautiful. What do you say? Amen? So God wants us to see that by beholding our Father. You know, it's like married couples. You know, when at first, they maybe don't look alike, but after 50 years, a lot of them look like brother and sister, do they not? They look so similar. They act the same way. They say the same words, the same phrases. They're like so closely resemble each other. It's almost scary sometimes, right? So in the same way, when we behold God, we become changed. When we join the family and born into that family, then we are also changed. And how we do it is by believing in Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus call us? Turn to Matthew 23, verse 8. Matthew, in your Bibles, 23, verse 8. What did Jesus call us? Matthew 23, verse 8, the Bible says, "But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. All you are what? Brethren." You're all what? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. In other words, what Jesus was saying here was that in the family of God, once you believe in Christ, you're part of the family of God. Not only do you have your human family, but you're born of a mother's child as a human family, but the second time you're born again into the family of God. So everyone here who believes in God is part of God's family now. That's why we're called the Honakah family. That's why we're the family of God. Now, it says not only are we a family, but everyone here in the eyes of God is equal. What do you say? Amen? Everyone here is equal. It doesn't matter, even if you have different positions, even as a pastor or elder or a member, once you join the family, guess what? Our positions, we have different roles, yes, but no one is better than anyone else in this church. What do you say? Amen? I'm equal with you. You're equal with me. I'm not higher than anyone else. You're not higher than anyone else. And so because of that, we are all equal and the same in the eyes of God as brothers and sisters in the family of God. What do you say, church? Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? So there's an equality. So everyone treats everyone equally. No one would disrespect another person, another family. No one would disrespect the family here. Everyone to make sure that everyone is respected, that everyone's treated with love, that an environment here is an environment where is healthy and wholesome that people will want to be at. Now, how does Jesus ask us to address his Father as? Turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 2. Luke chapter 11, verse 2. We're looking at the family this morning because in our world today, the family is being broken down in every aspect, emotionally, physically, spiritually. You see it all around. And we don't even have to leave this church to see it. Our families are being destroyed. So we want to look at the importance of family. How did Jesus ask us to address his Father as? Luke chapter 11, verse 2. I want you to notice. The Bible says, "And he said unto them," could he ask them to teach him how to pray in verse 1? "And Jesus said, this is how you pray," in verse 2. And it says, "When you pray, say, my Father which art in heaven." Is that what it says? What does it say? Our Father. Ah. I want you to know that Jesus didn't say, okay, when you pray to my Father, don't say, he didn't say, pray my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you, your Father, possessive of you yourself, right? But what Jesus is saying is that when you pray to God, I want my Father, I want you to pray that it is our Father. In other words, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we pray to our Father, every time you pray, what Jesus was saying here was this. Every time you pray, I want you to remember that it's not just your Father, but it's everyone in the family of God's Father, is our Father as the Honakah family of God. What do you say? Amen? We're all equal. In other words, I want you to remember every time you pray that there is a church family that I want you to remember. What do you say? Amen?
Amen.
There is a church family I want you to remember. And so, God wants us to experience what it is to be a family as brothers and sisters to those who believe. Now, let's look at a principle here. Turn to Psalms 133, verse 1. Psalms 133, verse 1. What happens when there is no unity? What happens when there is unity in the home? Psalms 133, verse 1 in your Bibles. What happens when there is unity in the home? The Bible says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what?
Unity."
So in other words, when there is unity in the home, guess what's going to happen? That home will become a place that is good and pleasant to dwell or to live in. What do you say? Amen? So when the home is right, we love it. In other words, if the home is right, it'll become a pleasant and good home to come home to. But if your home, let's look at your home. If your home is not a good and pleasant place to come home to, it's because there's no unity in the home. Guess what? Your children, maybe your husband or your wife or maybe your parents, is a place where they don't want to come home to. Now you look at the problems in society. You look at all those husbands who like to work late. You know, why is that they want to work late? Could it be possible that maybe home is not an environment they want to come home to? Or wives? Could it be possible that maybe their home environment, the children don't like to come home, they like to hang out with their friends. Maybe they like to get in trouble with bad kids, or they might like to get into drugs. Could it be possible that home, the home environment, has come to such a place that is not a place they want to come home to? Could it be possible that God is calling his people, who should be a light to the world, that is a time in this world that we need to change? What do you say, church? Amen? Our homes need to be changed. Could it be possible that maybe our children no longer go to church or no longer love the Lord? Because could it be that we as people who represent Christ on this earth, as representatives of Christ to our children, as a father on this earth, to our Heavenly Father, to represent our Heavenly Father to our children, that somehow by our examples that they have fallen out of love with God or hate the church? I believe that is the number one reason why our churches are suffering today. Because our home is suffering. You know, it's very easy to make friends out in the community. I've seen it happen. You can make a lot of friends out there and everyone loves you. And guess what? As I talk to the young people, you know, my parents are so friendly out there in the community. They make a lot of friends out there. But you know, when they come home, they're not the person they're at home than they are out there within the community. And their number one word is, you know, they always use the word hypocrite. But when they're talking about hypocrite, they're not talking about church members. You know who they're talking about? When they say the word hypocrite, when I'm talking with them, they're talking about their parents. And so when they see their parents as hypocrites in the church, they don't want, after a while, when they get 18 and on, they don't want to go to church anymore because they see the parents were hypocrites their whole life. And so they get turned off. And beloved, I want to parallel it. In the same way, when there is unity in the church family, then it becomes, the church family then becomes a good and pleasant place for Christians to want to come home to also. What do you say, huh? Amen? So the church family is only a representative of what happens in the home. So, you know, God has been really teaching me a lot about the gospel. You know, I used to think, and God's changing my mind recently, but I used to think that the church was actually a place where we try to make it spiritual, do spiritual events and programs, and try to have good worship services. And that will somehow work it backwards to help the home and help the person. But the spirituality of the church kind of be, it's like, I realize it's righteousness by faith. You know, it's like a Christian. When a Christian is born again, say you're an apple tree. When you're born again, you become a banana tree, your new person in Christ. You're no longer an apple tree, you become a banana tree. But a lot of times Christians, what they do is, rather than becoming a banana tree, they take bananas and they stick it onto them so they have the fruits of a banana and look like they're a Christian, right? That's what Christians do. They change what they say, they change their clothes, they go to church, they carry the Bible, they pay the tithe, they just stick on bananas to look like a Christian. And everyone looks at them like, look at all the bananas around that Christian, they look like a Christian, right? And I realized that rather than just taping bananas on us, we need to become banana trees. What do you say, huh? Amen? No, not literally, but you know what I'm saying, right? In other words, rather than being an apple tree and not changing the inside and taping on bananas on the outside to look like we're Christians, because we're not fooling anyone. What we need to do is we need to be grafted and changed to become truly banana trees from the inside out. I want that in my life. How about you? What do you say? Amen? So that's what God wants. And what I realize is that, you know, as a church, the cause of the problem in our churches is not the church. The problem with our churches today is because our churches are made up of families. So the problem with our churches is the step before. Our churches are made out of families. And the problem with our families is our families are made up of individuals. Is you and me. Individual, right? Myself. So in other words, when you have a relationship with God first, guess what? That's going to restore your home. And when your home is restored, guess what? That's going to restore the church. And so rather than trying to tape on bananas to us as a church and by doing programs and Bible work programs and evangelism and this all these activities on the outside, rather than taping on these bananas, why don't we just go back to the homes and go back to your individual walk with God and focus on changing that. And you focus on changing your life and your home. And when that happens, guess what's going to happen? The church will become on fire. What do you say? Amen? There needs to be a restoration of the home today. The reason why God's churches are today and they're suffering, because the homes are suffering and your home. The reason why Honokai Church is not where God wants it to be is because the Honokai families is not where it needs to be. And the reason why the church Honokai family is not where it needs to be is because your life and my life is not where it needs to be spiritually. And when your life is right, your home is going to be right. Amen? Your husband will love the Lord. Your wives will love the Lord. Your children will love the Lord. They want to serve God. They want to obey God. They want to go to church and serve Him with all their heart. And when these things are right, when your individual walk, when your walk is right with God, and your home is right with God, the church will take care of itself. Amen? But unfortunately, we are where we are today because our church is nowhere near where God says His church needs to be in the last days. Which reveals to me that what our churches need is a real individual walk with God and families that need to be restored. So my burden God has placed upon me is that rather than us planning programs and events and things to do in evangelism, let's focus on helping you as a member develop two things. Develop your walk with God so that not only you talking like you're a Christian, but taping bananas on the outside like make you look like a Christian, but you're living like a Christian. So that your families and also principles on how to have successful families in your home. Because if you have successful families and a successful walk with God, the church will be on fire for God. And, our homes is an example of what's really going on in our lives. How I realize that, how can a person serve God through the community or through the church and get respect from all people outside in the community to come to the church when their own husband doesn't respect them? When their own wife doesn't respect them. When their own children don't respect you. If your own children do not respect you, you don't have your heart of your children. If you don't have the heart of your wife, if you don't have the heart of your husband, how are you going to gain the heart of the people in the community? I mean, you can fake it for so long, right? We've been faking it for many years. I mean, this is reality. But how are you going to reach out there if your own wife does not even respect you? Your own husband, maybe they left you. Maybe they got divorced, whatever. Whatever issue had that came upon your situation, it happened because there's something happened in the home. There's something going wrong. And what God is saying to us today is that, look, if we're going to get the home in order, right, the church home, let's start in the home of your own life. Get your home in order. Get your life in order. Win the heart of your wife. Win the heart of your husband, win the heart of your parents, win the heart of your children, that they will honor and truly respect you. The Ten Commandments was not based upon honoring your father and mother, and as your daughters tell your children, like I tell my daughter, like we're not there to tell our daughter, you need to respect me. We need to earn that respect and win. I need to win the heart of my daughter and earn her respect that she will want to respect me. Why? Because she honors, she loves me. And I worked everything possible to win the heart of my daughter that she will obey me. Why? Because she loves me. Isn't that how we should serve God? Is that not how the gospel is? See, that's righteousness by faith. Righteousness by works is that God says what we need to do and we're going to do it because we are scared to do it. If we don't do it, we're going to get punished. No, that's not how God wants it. God wants us to serve him and obey him. Why? Because we love him. That is the gospel. And what God wants to do today is he wants to bring it into your home. He wants to bring it into your life. He wants you to be in a place where your children love you. Your children respect you. Your children honor you. And they will do anything for you. Why? Not because they're scared of you, but because they respect you and honor you so much that you have won their heart. Do we not need that today, beloved? Amen? Are we not in a place today that we don't see that? Are we not seeing homes that are broken up? The sad thing is that we're passing on to our next generation what we have only received from our parents. And so we have no other way to see, we have no other way that we think works in this world but the way that we've been taught. But the Bible reveals a clear way. There is something called the gospel. And this is the gospel. We serve God because he is so attracted to us that he has won my heart. And I will do anything he wants me to do because I love him. In the same way, our children should respect and honor us because we have done everything possible to win their hearts. What do you say? Amen? We need to win the hearts of our children. And we need to win the hearts of our spouses. And if we don't have a good relationship with our parents, we need to work everything possible to win the hearts of our parents also. Brothers and sisters, we can only love this way when we first see the love that God has for us this morning. I'm making a strong appeal this morning that we need to look at our lives. I want to challenge you. You need to look at your life today. Forget about how your life has been in the past with your parents. That is not God's way. God's way is that there be an unconditional love in the home between husband and wife. That in-love experience will still be there between you two. And you will serve one another. God's way is that your children will love you and respect you and honor you. And not only you, but they love God. And they will serve him. They will be obedient to him. They will keep all his commandments. They will serve the community and the church. And they will come to church. They will serve him with all their heart because that's what they want to do because they've seen the love of God. And when that is right, and your home is right, and the individual life is right, the church will be right. But until that happens, the church will never be right. It will be all wrong. And the solution, I believe, according to the Word of God, is the unity of the family of God. For when that happens, then when only then will our homes be right. I want this to happen in my life. I want this to happen in my relationship with my family. My primary goal right now is my family. I realize that. My daughter is a priority. My wife is the first priority. My daughter is the second priority. And then my ministry, the church. Because the church, our family is part of the churches. And until our family is right, you know, our churches will just be a facade. And so God wants us to have a revival in our churches. You know, revival doesn't come like, let's get together as a church and let's just pray. We've been doing that for 150 years, right? God wants us to make it work and real practical. Let's go back to the home. Let's go back to the simple thing. Let's go back to your walk with God. How is your walk with God? You know, one well-ordered, well-disciplined family does more for the gospel than all the sermons preached in the world. We can have a million sermons in the Honakai Church. It's not going to do anything. Because one well-ordered, well-disciplined family, in other words, our home is more important than all the sermons you hear every Sabbath. All these sermons, all the sermons I speak, it's worthless. What really matters is your life at home, how you're living at home, your walk with God, your family. That's most important. That is key to the success. So, I mean, we can talk all we want. We can pray all we want. We can preach all we want. We can do Sabbath school all we want. But it all doesn't matter. What matters is your home. And how is your home this morning? How's the relationship? Do we have the peace and love of God? We're not getting irritated with one another. We're not fighting with one another. We're not giving a cold shoulder to one another. Do we have the peace and love of God where we would do everything possible to make sure our families, everyone is up there in heaven with us? Do we love our children enough that we will lead them in the right way, that we will guide them to be up there in heaven with us, that they will want to serve God, they will want to serve people in the community, they want to go to church? Do we have that love in our hearts that our children will be saved? You know, last night I remember my daughter was taking a shower and she said to me, said, "Daddy, did you know that I went outside into take a walk tonight?" And I said, "Oh no, I didn't notice." And guess why I went outside into nature to walk? And then I asked her, and then she came out and after I said, "Why do you go out into nature to walk?" And she said to me, "I went out into nature to walk because I want to talk with God." And to me, as a daddy, you know, you hear your 7-year-old daughter say that, you know, you get all excited that she said that, you know, that she wants to talk with God. I mean, children don't talk like that. I mean, she doesn't talk to me like that. And then I don't know, before I went to sleep, that's all I said. And before I went to sleep, I was walking by, she was going to sleep and she's going to lie. And I almost didn't ask this question, but I'm glad I did. But I was walking in bed and I stopped, and something the Holy Spirit impressed me. Ask her why she went to talk to God. You know, as parents, we totally forget to ask these simple things. Why? So I stopped, I went down, I lied down her on top of bed with her and lied down next to her, and I put my arm around her. And I said to my daughter, "Why is it that you went out into nature to talk with God?" And you know what she said to me? She said to me that I went out into nature to talk with God because I don't want to make Jesus, Daddy, and Mommy sad anymore. Because I don't listen. And then she said, I went out there also and I asked Jesus to give me a new heart. And that's what parenting is all about. It's not how much gifts I give to her and how much a nice house we have and a nice car. That's worthless to me. But when my daughter talks about spiritual things and says, you know, I want to listen to Mommy, I don't want to make them sad. The motivation is not making Mom and Daddy mad or losing out on a blessing, fear of punishment or hope of reward, but because they love us so much that they don't want to make us sad. And I think that's what the gospel is, it not? We want to serve God because we don't want to make him sad. We don't want to put him on the cross again, right? That's the gospel, because we love him so much. Not because we're afraid he's going to punish us. That's not the motivation. But because we love him so much, we don't want to hurt the one whom we love. And I always look forward to my, you know, when we get to heaven. My greatest joy, I look forward to the day when we get to heaven, is that my daughter and my wife will be there. Don't you want to be that when you get to heaven? Don't you want your children? Doesn't everyone here want your children to be here in heaven when you go there? What do you say, amen? Don't you want your wife to be up there? The greatest joy to see your wife there? The greatest joy to see your husband there? The greatest joy to see your children, your son, your daughter? To see, I can't wait to go to heaven. I want to see my dad there. My dad passed away a few years ago. I want to see my dad up in heaven. I want to know that he's up there when I can't wait to go up there and see him there. I want to make sure that my whole family, I love them so much, I want to do everything possible that my family is up there in heaven. And I know you do too. Amen? Somewhere, maybe you don't have it in your heart all the way, but somewhere deep in your heart, if you can dig right now, there must be something in you that wants your family to be saved. Maybe you're not going to be saved, but at least your family will be saved. Don't you have a desire of an inkling of a little desire that every single child in your family that you gave birth to will be saved in heaven? That your parents who gave birth to you will be there. That the wife that you gave your vows to death do you part, will be there. Your spouse, your husband, or wife will be there. Beloved, our families are so important today. We need something to change. The greatest sadness I see today in our families is when children not only are not going to be saved, but they don't even want to talk to their own parents. Children don't even want to talk to their own dad. They don't even want to talk to their own mom. Parents hold grudges and won't even talk to their own children. Children don't even come and don't even want to visit their parents. We see Halehoʻola, right? There are children in Honokaa with parents in Halehoʻola, this hospital we sing at, and they don't even visit them. But we don't have to go outside of this church to realize that we have our own children don't even visit us. Don't even want to talk to us at times. Maybe upset at us. Let alone being lost. Let alone not coming to church. I mean, this is the gospel. And then we expect our churches to be spiritual magically out of nowhere. Let's just worship God and let's be spiritual for one day. So 6 days we can be not spiritual and have a messed up homes. I mean, it doesn't work that way. How can we expect Saturday, all of a sudden we're just magically spiritual and magically everyone's excited worshiping God, and 6 days a week our homes are just totally messed up, our children don't have nothing to do with us, they're not going to church, and our homes are messed up. All of a sudden, Saturday, we just have the wonderful worship service and just go back to the same old routine. I mean, who are we kidding? I mean, we're not kidding nobody. We're kidding ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. You're fooling yourself. And we're playing along in the game. Okay, you want to play the game? We'll all go along together. Let's all pretend we're spiritual, right? The home is the proof of how spiritual we are. That's what it really is. If a home is not spiritual, you can forget about the church. And I forgot. The church is made up of families, so I've basically forgotten about the church in the sense that no matter how much work we put into the church as us right here, nothing's going to really happen. What we need to do is put our energies into the families, develop your families at home, and to help you in your walk with God. I know it may be a strong sermon to you this morning, but I think many of us need to wake up this morning first. And only then will you want to change. And then we have something to offer you. Like, hey, we're here as a church not to develop the church. We're here as a church to develop two things, you as an individual and you as a family. May God help us to have this morning. I want to have a godly family that will be there up in heaven. How about you? If this is your desire, would you say amen with me? Amen? Amen. Amen. Our closing song today is 473. 473. It's called Nearer My God to Thee. 473.